Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's our healthcare feature on Mondays, and today we want to look at a really interesting case study, which has been actually been underway for the past decade. This is of the Shawela Community Practice in Soweto, where they are modelling something that will be almost like a pilot project of the NHI. So on the line with us is a family physician in the Department of Family Medicine at Wits University, Professor Shabir Musa. Thank you so much for making time for us, Prof. Good evening and welcome to Point of View.
Good evening to all you and all your listeners, and thank you for inviting me.
Let's talk a little bit about this pilot project that you've been running. Really, really interesting. Something that is going to be a bit of a model, a case study model for what NHI can achieve. Give us a broad strokes what it is that you're doing at the Shawela Community Practice.
Well, we started off Shawela as an example of dealing with a challenge which came from a study, which is after the NHI was sort of raised in 2007-08. And this has been even predated that in 1997 and before, the question of government looking at not only providing publicly owned public services, but also bringing the private sector into a public public system, private GPs. This has been long talked about. So in that space, I did a study in 2011 asking GPs in South Africa how they would react to the NHI, and predictably they were very ambivalent. But we also checked what they were doing. This was a study across the country, and about 900, 10% response from the survey sent to all of them across the country. And essentially, we asked them what their practice looks like. This is now more than a decade ago. And we asked them also what they might price their practice if we were going to draw them into a capitation system. Now, in the current system, you have publicly funded facilities being funded through budget systems. But in the private sector, you've got a fee-for-service system. And in a capitation system, it's a per capita payment. And that is really what we were testing, checking with the GPs. How might they respond to the system? Now, the per capita payment is that you get the funds for a person who then joins your practice. It's adjusted somewhat based on age, gender, and sometimes morbidity, etc. But you get a fixed amount. So the person can visit you as much as possible under the NHI scenario. But there's risks involved. In other words, people, you know, it does make the private provider take on risk. So when we had that situation, we sort of asked an open-ended question to the GPs who responded, under this circumstance, what would you see as a risk and how would you mitigate it? The first risk they sort of brought up was, government being not trustworthy. Well, to mitigate that or to make it less of a risk, they would have to get a very strong contract. You know, it's kind of understandable. The second risk is the one that most people struggle with. And they said that many people will visit. And in the scenario we presented to them in that study was that people would visit three visits per person per year, which is a population expectation, which is halfway between the public service average population usage of two visits per person per year and the private sector usage of four visits per year. So they said, no, the people come many, much more times than that. And then, be six and eight times. And of course, their mitigation, their way to reduce that risk was to do health promotion, which is a good response. Some of the GPs responded, no, they would limit access. And then the third one was about the fact that they were small, functioning as small units. And in the capitation system that I had proposed or had suggested as a model, they said, no, that is going to be a big shift for us. Mm-hmm. So I hope you understand that a key thing in the new NHI system that the government is planning is to get GPs paid in a new system.
Yes.
Which is good because it is much more effective in getting people to be managing in primary care, not just a service, but to look after people. So we said, let's test this in Shawelo. Mm-hmm. But we went one step further, because right now the government is busy with the NHI mm-hmm. with that exact same scenario, looking at a contract to set up, negotiate price and package with the GPs and to actually get going pretty quickly. And that, I think, is more or less something I'm doing in Shawelo in that area. But, the process is relatively simple. But one of the difficulties in this is one wants to make better quality become cheaper. Mm. And that's the whole NHI, you may say, value, mm. is that it is trying to achieve better quality with less money. So we tried to do this in Shawelo. We said, let's take a population, which was the ward around it. And we said, let's do exactly that. We were functioning from a corner of the CHC, calling it a community practice, but it's a small clinic in one of the buildings, half of one of the buildings, there are 10 buildings there. Mm-hmm. And it was part of the public service, but we were using the resources of the public service, but we made it feel like it was a private practice. So we tried to say, let's make it look like, I said, let me make it as good as my private practice if I were running it. Mm-hmm. And we did that. But we said, let's, and we were there waiting for people in the community to come and use it. But we did certain things that mm-hmm. were quite important. One is the way the system's going to work mm-hmm. is we enrolled people into the practice. So community health workers, healthcare workers went into the community and they registered every single family in that community and said, now you are able to access the small clinic in the CHC, but you can only use it. Nobody can just walk up mm-hmm. and say, I need to come. It's mm-hmm. only the people that the community health worker mm-hmm. registered, which is part of the health system, but it doesn't function in this very deliberate fashion. Mm. But NHI will force that. People will be asked to join a practice and there'll be a named member of that practice. Mm. So it will come as we're going along. But we said, okay, it's not just about them being part of the practice. We said we want the community health worker to actually be very much a gatekeeper or a sort of the key person that works with us, collecting information in the community and bringing the patient through, but also trying to work with us in improving care. Mm. So that is not very evident in the public service. These community health workers don't work very closely with the public service, even though that system is in the public service. Mm. So I think it's one of the things that need to change. Then the second thing we did in the clinic itself, in the Shawelo community practice, those were the four elements. And we said, this is how we do this better. And it's not really a big difference in the public service. It just needs to be thought through how you can achieve that in the future. The second thing was in the clinic itself, we said community work, healthcare workers are very important to our work. I'm sitting there as a doctor with a clinical associate and the nurse. We are doing a teamwork. We're going to deliver as teams, and we're going to try and work with the community health worker. And in our system, we did what would be good practice. Like we tried to set up good record systems, which looked after people as a family. So if you walk into Shawelo, you will see there are cabinets with each community health worker having their cabinet and or a shelf. And in it is a family folder with each patient's folder in it and then a community health worker folder in it. So that when I see a family, when I see a person, I'm seeing them with the entire family folder. I can think about whether there's somebody else with a similar condition. I can look at the records and I can think family while I'm dealing with the individual patient.
I just wanted to ask the significance of that. Yeah. Of that is that sometimes you're able then to, as physicians, track what other family history there is exactly. that I may have missed or I may have forgotten or maybe absolutely. I wasn't even familiar with.
Exactly. It's about, having a family orientation to every patient. You don't see them just in themselves. Mm. You're seeing them as part of not only the family, but the community. Because I encourage the doctors, please look at the community folder because they're looking at what is the context of that family as well. Their housing and their social circumstances, who's employed in. Very profound, simple thing, just a proper folder system, which is something that the public service needs to get their head around. But again, in a small practice, if you go to any typical GP, he's doing that kind of thing already. But we are adding something more of a community health worker in it. Yeah.
And are you seeing, I would call them patterns, as you have a wider lens, so when you step out of the patient, step out of the actual family unit and you look at the community, are there patterns that you're starting to pick up? And maybe it's early days yet, but are there patterns that you're starting to pick up on that may highlight a problem that you may not have been aware of?
Absolutely. I think the whole idea, and that's why we call it community practice, not family practice, not private practice or individual practice. It's community practice. So the whole idea is it's premised on the idea called community-oriented primary care, which is about how do you gather information not only from the community of work out there. And, you know, it's not just them running around. We actually collect information and we really want that information to see the patterns you're talking about. We also want to see in the practice itself, when patients come through, what patterns emerge. And then we also have a third place where we try to collect ideas and patterns, which is we engage with the community stakeholders. We look around for counselor and, you know, community policing forum, whatever out there. We just ask, you know, what else is important, and bring them together in various ways. So that's the third very good element. And then exactly what you say, we pick up the patterns by deliberately collecting and analyzing information to do the fourth thing, which is to do targeted health promotion, to build priorities. So giving an example of, you know, what we found in Shiwelo, and it can be very different in different communities. But the idea is that it's very community oriented. It's based on information of that community, not the whole district, but that community that we are working with. And so we picked up in Soweto as an example from the community health workers stuff they collected, that we thought there were large, you know, very dense populations, but we realized, hang on, the family of Soweto is no longer 10. It's actually 4. And we found that, you know, that extended family of Soweto is gone. You know, everybody living in one big yard. No, it's not there anymore. Actually, it's 4 people, granny with a problem child, which means like someone on drugs or alcohol, and grandchildren who are orphans, HIV orphans. That's the common pattern. And this is in this community around Shiwelo, which is an old Venda Tsonga community. So that's what we saw in the community. We also then looked at a pattern in the practice. We found lots of people coming for chronic illnesses. But, you know, when we listen to them carefully and in terms of listening, you find lots of complaints. My back is sore. I've got a headache. And my neck is sore. You listen and you understand what's going on. No, they're socially isolated. They have a lot of stress. And seemingly the stress comes from children like this, alcohol, drugs, and the whole problem of not enough money. And no social support, because when we looked at the details, both in the patient, in the community health worker profile, and in the patient coming there, they've rented these little umjondolos. They've put these umjondolos, rented them out, and they're so high that they don't even talk to their neighbors across the, you know, in over the fence. So very socially isolated. And then we picked up that when we talked to the community, we picked up very much similar things, but we did an exercise with them of saying, what is the challenge that's impacting on your health? Poverty, unemployment popped up big. Then the next thing that came up was drugs, big problem in the community. And then the third thing was, at the time, early on, was teenage pregnancy, just children not being well controlled, and all these challenges of managing young teenagers. So you see, there's lots of different patterns emerging. But then what we did in the monthly meeting with the community stakeholders, said, listen, we've got ideas. What about you? Can we sit together and look at health promotion? In the first 2 years, one of our biggest problems was to attract people, because we found that somehow people weren't using it as much as we expected. And we said, what's going on? Do people know about it? And we went and, you know, did lots of, you know, loud hailing all over, meetings, etc. And we realized eventually that, no, people were actually quite happy. And we did a study that showed that people felt, no, when they're sick, they get the service they need. The waiting times were great because we function it like a small practice, especially with the appointments. We got, you know, half the patients by appointments. Half of them were not with appointments, but everybody was getting very short timelines. So they were really happy. They felt they were looked after very well. And it was not the best of situations, because we had interns, you know, these are young doctors who are shifting through the place every week, which is not very continuous. I mean, it's worse than even the clinic. But yet they were happy. And these are doctors waiting for the patients to come. So they were coming not as much as we expected. And this was very cost saving. And we asked them, what makes you not to, what makes you, what is influencing your visit rates? And we said, you know, is the community health worker making more visits, less visits, or the same visits? Half of the patients said the community health worker is decreasing our visits. And the difference when you ask the community health workers is they feel very valued in this whole system, which is not what's happening in the rest of the health system. They are treated as just a pain by the nurses and the other doctors. Mm. They're not really a strong member of the team. We have made them very central to the team. Mm. They're literally the gatekeepers to us.
Mm-hmm. And these are the community healthcare workers.
Community healthcare workers. And they're from the community, so they know the community quite well. But we've invested them with a lot of respect because when we have in our filing system, we have their name everywhere. They are, you know, we encourage the young doctors, the interns, please ask how the community health worker is doing with you and then refer them back to the community health worker because these young doctors don't speak always the language and they don't have the time. So we encourage them, please tell the community health worker in a paper that's in their file, pull it out and goes to them and instruct them, please follow up on this. There's a social problem, even deliver the drugs, go and follow up with them. If they need, get the nurse to pop in to see, and we give these kind of instructions. Mm-hmm. So it is really great care. I mean, people in the community literally have, we encourage them to come when they need, tell the community health worker to make sure that they pick up really ill people. Mm. But when people have these complaints, like, you know, a child has got a sniffle and a bit of fever, we say, no, you educate the mother that, you know what, don't stress, these are the danger signs. If the child has a very high fever, then you need to do X, Y, Z. But if it's high, just keep the temperature down. You don't have to rush to the doctor immediately. But there's danger signs that you need to watch for. And these are what you need to educate the mother. And we've changed their behavior because of this very deliberate education where we have very good quality of care and we have very necessary visits, but much lower than what happens even in the public service.
So,
which is really cost saving.
Yeah, absolutely. With issues that you've just raised, you know, social issues and so on. I mean, are you able to bring on board social workers? Do we have enough? How does that impact your work?
Well, I think that we have tried. We do have social workers not in the system here in this place because, you know, we cover at the moment 30,000 people. But in the community health worker, there's just only one social worker and she's literally challenged with the volumes that I dealt with. So I think that we try working hard. The community health worker acts as a bridge. We say, listen, for medical issues, bring it to us, but you should, and we teach them how to access various social resources like private social workers or NGOs or churches. And we tell them, find ways to link the person up with the support systems. Mm. We have tried to get what's called intersectoral collaboration with social work department. And we've got them locally and we get them to train them, the community health workers, on what types of grants they can encourage people to help them. You know, what they need to do to help them to get these grants. We've tried to engage with the different principals at schools. So we've got arrangements to see patients from the school straight and help them and engage with them. Community health workers do visits to the school and teach. We have also got very strong relationship with the community policing forum and the police station locally. So all these different sectors, you know, we try to do as much as we can. It could certainly be better. I mean, agriculture and sports, and you know, you can do much more. But I think that our government is not yet ready to bring that really close down to sort of this level of care. Of course, in the NHI, that's possible. Because to me, that's really important that I, as a doctor, if I'm contracted to the NHI, that I spend time and energy and resource on keeping people healthy. And for that, it's not just medicine. It's also education levels. It's their income. So for me, I mean, in Shawela, for example, we have set up little clubs. It is walking clubs that we call, but they exercise or sport or health clubs, you could call it, where we've gathered people into, you know, little halls or double garages, taught the community health workers what to do with them in terms of stretching, strengthening, based on these sort of conditions we picked up. And then also to bring them together to build, you know, to have conversations, to build friendships so that they can support each other. And it was just that was the idea. And initially it got them, but they then suddenly got a life of their own, starting to share, their trades and, you know, crafts and skills like that, and building up NGOs and doing gardening and doing, soup kitchens and all sorts. We even aided them with a donation of stoves. So there's so much one can do to build up capacity in the community. And this, to me, is what the NHI will do. It will get you in the space to really keep it happening. As an example, in Brazil, it was found that this kind of model of care is really very influential in improving infant mortality rates. But the other thing that, you know, is there in that in Brazil has a very influential impact on infant mortality rates is the mother's literacy. So it means that, you know, for me to make a difference in Chiauelo, if I had the money, I'd be making sure that every single woman who's of childbearing age, I bring her in or somehow do something to make sure she builds up her literacy, especially health literacy, because that will improve the health outcomes really in a very remarkable way. So at least in the new payment system, I don't have to say, oh, you come for a cold, let me give you some medicine, because I will only get paid because you come with a cold and I give you something. Now I'm paid to look after you. Mm-hmm. And for me, I need to keep you healthy, because the less you come in, the better it is for me. So it's a whole different paradigm. And I think that's quite interesting with the new NHI plan.
You're working, your current model is working with a sample of 30,000 residents. There would be, and you just spoke about the fact that the family dynamics are now different. It's no longer one house housing 10 people. Plus, it's more like four. But there would be areas where, you know, it's more densely populated. Would those areas cope with a clinic that would take or be responsible for more people? You know, let's say an area with high-rise buildings, like maybe a Hillbrow, where...
Hillbrow, of course.
Because obviously the number of people living in a per square meter would be much more than what you're seeing.
Absolutely. Now, let me explain to you. I think that, you know, my own view is that when we started off, we, in fact, in the model that we talked to GPs about, and it's a model I've punted in all the academic work I've done, I said, listen, the practices, given there are about 12,000 doctors, GPs in the country, including the public service, if we even engage half of those GPs in the public service, in the NHI, we would have about one GP to 10,000 people. And to me, that's the number we're talking about. 30,000 is too big.
Yes.
But multiple GPs and doctors with in clinics, not just working alone like they are now, but with teams of nurses and other and community health workers, can deliver good quality service to that 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. And of course, over time, it can even become smaller. But the key is to take care of that bunch of people. And this principle of COPC is about make what needs to be done fit the community that you are looking after. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very different to Chiauelo.
Sure.
I'm from Chiauelo to even, let's say, Diepsloot or, let's take an area with the hostels or in, every community is different.
Yes.
But the key thing is that you have to design your service to that community. And that's the principle. The numbers... Well, that's I think, is part of the design issues in the NHI, is you must make sure that irrespective of the differences all across the country, the team must look similar and then the team must be taught how to respond to that local community. And it's not geographic, because you can have a half a dozen GPs looking after 10,000 of that 60,000 community. So people have choice. You know, they're not going to be stuck because they live in an area to go to that GP. But each GP is being pushed in that direction of take care of the people in collaboration with them and in a way that fits what they need. And that could vary, but in a particular area, it will be responsive to the community. You can build that into a contract.
What would the NHI have to refine in your experience? A decade is, I think, long enough for you to have seen where the gaps are. What would have to be refined?
Yeah. Well, I must say that, I've been doing this work in Chiauelo for 10 years now, and I've been sharing it lots. Initially, the Department of Health, I think, was very focused on strengthening the public service. They have not done work on what it would mean to contract GPs out contract. In other words, contract them to provide service in their rooms. They've been trying to get the GPs into the clinics, public service clinics.
Yes.
And I think they've done that for very long. So about 2018, I've been sharing that, you know what, this needs to move into the space where this testing happens. And I was sharing the outcomes in Shawelo. Then in 2018, National Treasury engaged with me to do some work with them to design a contract for GPs. And we did this work. And it has helped. Obviously, they shared it with the Department of Health. But I think department was still in early days in terms of its thinking. You know, there have been all sorts of discussions about how that contracting occurs and a lot of things about what's called a contracting unit for primary care, which distracted a lot of people. So I think right now, the Department of Health at National, I am liaising with them because where I work in Johannesburg, I've been drawn into developing the what's called a proof of concept contracting unit for primary care. So in Shawelo, for the 300,000 people in that catchment area of the CHC, we are trying to test out as one of nine test sites for the National Department of Health NHI branch to see how we might engage with contracting. And at the moment, they're busy with a contract at National, but they want a process where we engage with the local GPs and the local communities and strengthen the public service. But there's a much more clearer mindset to do this contracting. And what's required is actually quite simple. Firstly, with the Department of Health, I think they're looking at very simple accreditation system, which will give 5 years for them to build up slowly towards the current public service requirement of the Office of Health Standards Compliance, saying that they have facilities that are spot on. They fulfill all the standard requirements. They can't function from garages or, you know, in bad places where there's no toilet, et cetera, et cetera. So they've got a bundle of requirements. And I think they're planning on doing that in a very developmental way for all GPs. Then the second thing is to say to a GP, have you got internet? And we will give a computer. And we then want you to link up to a system that is called the Health Patient Registry System. And this is fitting in with what is the strong focus in the NHI of IT being quite a sort of empowering tool for the NHI. So a GP will link you to the system. They will be talking to each other through this Health Patient Tree Registry System because it is going to mean that every person is going to have a unique identifier. It will be a number, but it will be linked to their fingerprints because the Department of Home Affairs is linked to this database that the National Department has got. So if, example, I now, you know, GPX says, I'm willing, I would like to contract, I assign, you know, I'll provide the service for the price, then he fulfills the requirements of accreditation. Then he just has to get a computer, and in that computer, link up to the HPRS where the department says, here's your login. He goes in there and everybody in the community will be told, listen, GPX is part of a list of other GPs and other services. Then you choose him. You walk into his rooms. He says, fine, where's your fingerprint? Put it on a biometric reader. It will check with that HPRS system, which is cross-referenced to the Department of Home Affairs. And if he's a valid user, in other words, registered on the Home Affairs system, he'll be picked up. And in which case he fills in the required documents, they submit this electronically, and that GP gets paid, and now he can go to that GP and get the care he needs. And that is the question later of what is the package for the price?
Really appreciate it.
Which is not quite sorted out yet.
Yeah. Of course, you know, this is work in progress, but really appreciate your insights, Professor Shabir Musa, who has been doing this work for a decade now in Shawelo Community Practice. Lots of insights there, and I'm sure, as he said, that there are little bits and pieces that still need to be ironed out, but quite interesting, I would call it a pilot project. I don't think he calls it that, but it's somewhat of a pilot project that he's running in Soweto. He's a family physician in the Department of Family Medicine at Wits University.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.